But we've been studying the Romans, and I wanted to go a little further tonight. We've gotten up to, I think, Romans 11:25, and I'd like to kind of make a transition here out of talking about the olive tree, branches breaking off, branches grafting in, and go into what it starts talking about in Romans 11:25 about Israel's future. Now, it had talked about it earlier in the chapter, verses 11, 12, 13, 14, in through there. But we want to see the placement of it, of the various things that have to do with Israel, its beginning and its end. I should say its ending. When Israel ended and the body of Christ began, and when the body of Christ on earth ends its time on earth, and Israel begins again. So, if we could just look at the verse, Romans 11:25, "For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery." And Paul's going to give them new information that had been kept secret. The mystery is what had been hidden, but is now revealed by Christ through Paul, an apostle, and there were other apostles in the body of Christ, but the Lord made this known through Paul and the prophets that acknowledged it, that it was the Word of God. He says, "For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in." And we read, or have read actually, about that in part and what it means. If we look back in Romans 11:7, "What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it." The election being those that elected what it said in the verse before. Paul was talking about grace, not works, was it? Let's see. If it be of works, it isn't. Yeah, no more. So he's talking about grace, not a proper noun. There is a dispensation named that. But he's talking about God offering salvation by grace, not of works. And that started with the mystery of Christ. When Paul was saved, and the rest, you know, the next person that was saved, all of them up until us today, not just until us though, until the Lord catches us up. So Romans 11 verse 6, "Remnant according to the election of grace." That's in I got a wrong reference there, I think. Let me just look at this one. But they, the ones there that it's talking about, they elected grace. It's another word for chose. They chose grace. They believed the gospel of salvation, which Paul was teaching and preaching at that point. And it was to the Jew and also to the Greek. It was a gospel. It was good news. Had anybody heard it, Jew, Greek, or anybody, they would have been saved if they would have believed it. But Paul's sending at that time, he was sent specifically to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I just want to make that clear. It's a sending. It's not a restriction. Paul was not restricted to just go to those two groups of people. So Romans 11:7, "The rest were blinded." So that Acts remnant, they were believers. The prophetic remnant there were believers in the kingdom church that believed that Jesus was the Christ, resurrected from the dead. Then there were also unbelievers that crucified him. They believed that he was a fraud and that Jesus was not the Messiah that they had been looking for. But going back to verse 25, later in Romans 11, that blindness in part has happened to Israel. That the part that was blinded was the rest. The rest that it's talking about did not believe. They were not the election. They were not those that elected to be saved by the saving message of grace. The rest were blinded. So I hope we can see from that that God did not blind the believers. God blinded the unbelievers. And we have reference to that in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4, too. We don't need to go there. Let's think about going down through the verses here. Verse 26 in Romans 11. And so, in other words, because of what he just said there, that Israel is blinded, excuse me, that Israel is blinded until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. This next verse is the only verse I know of that connects the start up again of Israel's doctrine, their prophecy fulfillment, connects that with being at the same time as the catching up of the body of Christ. Assuming that 11:25 is talking about that, and I think it's fairly strong. I don't see any other, you know, place that it's mentioned the connection between the two. So, and so all Israel shall be saved. God keeps his promises. He's going to save Israel. Israel, you know, the promises were to Israel, as we said last night. It's not keeping a promise if you try and fulfill it to somebody else. So, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, capital D, that would be Jesus, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. So, there's going to be an ungodliness in Jacob. And there has been ungodliness in the past. There's going to be even more so now that they're not God's people. And now that Hosea's prophecy, Isaiah's prophecy, David's prophecy, Jesus's prophecy, they've all come true by the end of Acts, in Acts 28, that Israel was blinded. They didn't turn around and turn back to the Lord. They were blinded then, at the end of Acts 28. So, going on to verse 27, for this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins. And that matches Acts 3:19, we'll get to in a minute. But they were under a different situation. Talking about Israel, they were not saved as those in the body of Christ are saved. In the body of Christ, let's review these verses again. Ephesians 2:5, verse 5, verse 8, and verse 9. Starting with Ephesians 2:5, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So talking about Israel, they were not saved immediately. When they believed the gospel of the kingdom that was preached to them, they were in right standing, but there was no permanency to it. They were not told that they were bound for heaven or bound for the land or saved. What they're told about that is that they have to endure to the end to be saved. That Christ will return and blot out their sins when he returns. Look at Acts 3:19 and 20. Let's start with 19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. So at the time Christ returns is when Israel is promised to have the blotting out of their sins. Look at jump down to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, and I'm going to read several through here. This is in the first chapter of 1 Peter, and you can see he's keeping the context through here. All through here, he doesn't vary from the fact that salvation comes at the time of Christ, appearing or reappearing. That's when their sins are blotted out. Let me start with 5. We'll go to 7 then. Who are kept by... It's talking about Israel. Peter writing to and about Israel, according to Galatians 2:9. Who are kept by the power of God through faith, have to keep their faith, unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Their salvation is ready to be revealed in the last time. Verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold, gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and glory, praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. When? At the appearing of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the room. Go to verse 9, 1 Peter 1:9, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Verse 10, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. They didn't get it yet. Israel, talking about Israel, remember it's Peter again speaking, still Peter speaking in the first chapter. Look at verse 11. Searching what, or talking about these prophets of Israel, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. So the glory comes later for them, for Israel. Verse 13, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, when Christ appears. One more verse. Look at Zechariah 13, verse 1. In that day there shall be a fountain opened up in the house of David, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. That's talking about Christ's return again. So their sins will be taken away, but it's at the Day of Atonement when Christ returns, and that's what he promised. That he didn't promise them immediate salvation like he does through Paul, promises those coming into the body of Christ by believing Paul's gospel. Paul's saving message that Christ died for your sins. There's nothing, you know, you're not... those sins are not still on you. It's up to you to believe it, though. It applies to you if you believe it. Christ died for our sins and rose for our justification. To be justified, you have to believe it. We're justified by faith. So then, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. But you can see Israel had different instructions. They were under different conditions than the body of Christ is under. The body of Christ is for everybody now, but Israel was a small nation, and they were under a special situation to show that all have sinned. The law works wrath. The law makes our sin nature. It makes it appear as sin. So no one can be good enough for God is what it shows. And that's what Romans 3:19-20 is all about. Look at verse 19 and 20 in Romans 3. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. It makes you aware that you're a sinner. Okay, back to, let's talk about some about Israel's blessings and curses, and how that fits in. Romans 11:27, for this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. When does he take away their sins? When he returns. So to see that covenant, you can look in fact, let's look in Deuteronomy 30, verses 1 to 10. Deuteronomy 30, that was Jehovah talking through Moses to the people of Israel. So when it says something to do or not to do, you know, it's for Israel to do or not to do. He's not addressing us. It's not our conditions, it's Israel's conditions. Verse 1, and it shall come to pass that when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse, which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations, whether the Lord thy God hath driven thee. Excuse me just a minute. Bumped a dial, I shouldn't have. When all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations, whither the Lord thy God hath driven thee, and shalt return to the Lord thy God. So he's already telling them back in Deuteronomy that they're going to go away from God and have to come back. And shalt obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children, with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath scattered thee. So they're still going to be scattered at the return of the Lord. But he will return at the time when they, where does it say? When they, I'm looking, hold on. Command thee this day and thou thy children. Well, when they return to the Lord, beginning of verse 2, and shalt return unto the Lord thy God, shall obey. Obedience is going to be required of Israel even after the Lord, after the church is taken up, the church, the body of Christ is taken up, and Israel's prophecy fulfillment begins. Shalt obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day. So Israel had incurred the curses by then. When was that? It was when they left off obeying. Obeying the Lord their God with all their heart and with all their soul. That's what we see there in the first two verses of Deuteronomy 30. Don't ever let anyone tell you that Israel did not need to prove their faith by their works. It was clear, plain, explicit in this command of God. You can read it. You know, we just did. They needed to obey. Even after the catching up of the body of Christ, when Israel is back as the way to come to God, that you have to believe the gospel of the kingdom then, and you know, endure to the end through the tribulation. But their blessing was everlasting in the everlasting life in the land, and God covenanted, promised it to them if they would keep all his commandments. Well, they left off doing that, and when he returns, they will. You know, it's going to be pretty close to the same time that he comes back and they return because of Zechariah 12 verse 10. But we can see in verses 1 and 2 here in Deuteronomy 30 the conditions for Israel to again be God's people. Three conditions I can see there. One, when Israel shall call to mind the blessings and the curse. Two, when Israel shall return to the Lord. And three, when Israel shall obey God's voice and His commandments. And you can see that those could all be the same day. You know, they could be almost simultaneous. But at that time, when they do, the Lord will, three things, turn their captivity. Secondly, have compassion upon them. And thirdly, return and gather them. So, and that's in verse 3, I think it was. Halfway through verse 3. So let's go to verse 4. If any of thine be driven out unto the outmost parts of heaven, from thence will the Lord thy God gather thee, and from thence will he fetch thee. And we saw in Ezekiel 37 that he calls them from the four winds, and they rise up out of their graves, talking about the resurrection. And you know, as we go on a few more verses, it gives the whole flow of what's happening to Israel and what's going to happen. Go to verse 5. And the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land. Now, there's a lot going on before that happens, you understand. I mean, most of Revelation goes through that 70th week, 7 years before they get to the land. But it's talking about a future event. They're not brought into the land yet. There's no prophesied holy nation over there now. There is a United Nations state, but there's no holy nation that God put there. So going on, and the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land, and the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it, and he will do thee good and multiply thee above thy fathers. Verse 6, and the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed, and of thy seed, to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. And you can see there, God does it. And the Lord God, thy God, will circumcise thy heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord. God causes it to happen among those that believe him. Faith first, and then God does the work. Verse 7, and the Lord thy God will put all these curses upon thine enemies and on them that hate thee, which persecuted thee. Verse 8, and thou shalt return and obey the voice of the Lord. So there's a return again, talking about the return. So this is things going on, but I don't know. You can see that there's a difference between what Israel doesn't start again until the body of Christ is gone up to heaven, caught up to be with the Lord. Israel has not been obeying the voice of the Lord. They did not receive their Messiah. They rejected and crucified him. And the Bible says, starting in Deuteronomy 30, verse 8, and thou shalt return and obey the voice of the Lord, and do all his commandments, which I command thee this day. And the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every work of thine hand, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, the fruit of the land, for good. And the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good, as he rejoiced over thy fathers, if thou... So, we're getting to conditions here. You got to believe all the Bible, even the parts that tell you to whom God is speaking. Remember, he's not speaking to us here. This condition is never placed on the body of Christ or believers in the gospel of Christ, the gospel of the grace of God. Here, God is reiterating a former covenant and a promise that he had made with Israel and to Israel, not to us. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments. They have to keep his commandments. Sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. If thou shalt hearken unto the Lord and unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and his statutes which are written in this book of the law, and if thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. So I hope you can see it there. They had turned away from the Lord, but God did, and he will keep his covenant. They have to turn back. That's what the repenting is about, that John the Baptist was speaking about. They needed to turn back to the Lord. But they will have a bright future, as prophesied and promised, but it's not today. It's yet coming. And remember how amazing it is that we have a position in Christ. Remember that super list of who you are in Christ, with I think it's 77 or over 70 different things, great things that the Lord does for us, seats us in heavenly places, gives us his righteousness, places us in the body of Christ, or baptizes us into a whole bunch of great things that happen when you become a believer in the gospel that saves, the gospel of salvation today, that Christ died for your sins and rose for your justification. So it's going to be just as super for the world to see Israel actually eager to keep all God's commandments, and actually able to keep all of God's commandments because of the anointing that they have, the unction given to them at that time. And God, as just as he does it all for us in the body of Christ, in this dispensation and this mystery of Christ that we're in, at that time, God will do it all for Israel, enabling them, empowering Israel, and indwelling Israel with that unction mentioned in 1 John 2:20. And 24, 25, 27, in through there in 1 John, chapter 2. Remember, that's to and about Israel in the future. It's not about us. Ye have that unction. It's not saying you today listening here over Pal Talk, you have that unction. No, it's John who, according to Galatians 2:9, addresses Israel. He's writing to Israel, and he says, you, Israel, have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. Verse 24, let that therefore abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, not us listening to this, but us, Israel, that he's writing to, even eternal life. But the anointing which you have, again, Israel had, and will have in the tribulation, the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it has taught you, you shall abide in him. So we're getting close to closing here. But again, God enables and empowers Israel after the church, the body of Christ, has been caught up to be with the Lord. And they're able to trust and obey God's voice and God's commandments at that time, when they weren't able to in their own fleshly strength. But then God is going to do it all for Israel, just like he did for us in the body of Christ. But it's future, and it's if we were the same entity as Israel, he would have to do it all at the same time. It would be under the same conditions, but we're different. So God will complete, remember Exodus 19 verse 6, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, not unto the rest of the world. It's Israel that will become a kingdom of priests at that time, as verified in Zechariah 8:23. But God makes Israel to be a kingdom of priests. And Israel is a kingdom that points the world to God. I mean, they're priests to the rest of the world. So, all right, I'm done for today. This is it as far as what I've got prepared for today's lesson.